You are listening to an exclusive podcast on Money Control.
Welcome to the final episode in Money Control's Friendship Week series. We heard last week from Manoj Nagpal about how money can be our friend and how nurturing our investments the way we nurture friendships will hold us in good stead. Today, we will take a look at the many asset classes available to investors and how they can function as good friends who look out for us at all times.
Your assets are your friends.
An exclusive on Money Control.
Asset classes as a group of securities exhibit similar characteristics and behavior in the marketplace and are subject to the same laws and regulations. Asset classes are of three types: equities or stocks, fixed income or bonds, and cash equivalents or money market instruments. Some experts also include a fourth asset class, real estate or other tangible assets. The big general asset classes can be broken down into subclasses by size, industry, location, etc. The first is equities or stocks. When you buy equity, you basically own a tiny part of a company, or a large part, depending on how much stock you acquire in the said company. The second type is fixed income or debt. Here, you're lending money to a company or government for interest. So instruments like government bonds, other types of bonds, and certificates of deposit are good examples of this category. The third type is cash and cash equivalents. The money in your savings account, in your pocket, or hidden in your piggy bank, that kind of stuff. The stuff we always seem to spend too quickly. The fourth asset class is real estate and commodities. This includes something tangible, physical, like property, natural resource commodities, and precious metals like gold. Any financial product you come across can safely fit into one of these asset classes. Let's begin with our asset class number one, equity or stocks and shares. This will come as a bit of a surprise for the investing noob, but more of the world's wealth is held in stocks than in real estate or gold. Equity has only grown in popularity in India since the 1990s. When you invest in equity, it means you've bought ownership into a business. For example, when you buy stocks of Infosys or HCL, you become a part owner of that business. Even the RSU or restricted stock units and ESPP or employee share purchase plan, equity investments that you get from the company you work for, these make you a small investor in the company. This also means you control, in whatever small measure, the same percentage of the voting rights in the company should any big issue arise. That said, there are different classes of shares, so you will have less voting rights. Realistically speaking, most individual investors needn't concern themselves with voting rights. Now, as is obvious, when you invest in business, you get a percentage ownership. If the company you invested in hits a big payday, your overall worth shoots up. But there is the minor issue of time. A business grows over time, usually years or decades. It also faces ups and downs, and these good times and bad times reflect in the stock price of the company. Some analysts have worked out that over a 10-year period, the Bombay Stock Exchange gives around 12% returns or more, 8 out of 10 times. Now, equity is like an unpredictable friend. So, like you do with your more temperamental friends, you need to allow these assets some time to smoothen out. Because equity returns are pretty unpredictable, people tend to be wary of investing in mutual funds or direct stocks. However, market data indicates that these assets are real wealth creators for investors who play the long game. There are mutual funds from various asset management companies that have proven track records of success for investors. Well-known certified financial planner Surya Bhatia has a philosophy he swears by. He told Business Today, and we quote him, "The volatility goes hand in hand and the risk is there. That's why we always talk about long-term. It may sound boring, but the fact is boring can be good. Look at longevity of asset classes and create a portfolio which is meant to be invested for the long-term. Equity has to be the critical pie of your portfolio." Unquote. Now that we understand equities are a long-term game, a long friendship that can pay off handsomely in the future, what can an investor expect from such investments? In the past, stock markets have generally seen returns of 12 to 16% averaged annually over the long term. By long term here, we are talking about durations like one business cycle, and that's typically 6 to 7 years or more. Stock markets can go up 20% or down 20% in any given year. During the economic crisis of 2008, stock markets collapsed by as much as 50 to 60% before recovering. These events, indeed stock market returns in general, cannot be predicted beforehand with any degree of certainty. Quite simply, if it was possible to predict a crash, the crashes would have never happened. However, despite the crashes and the negative years, stock markets have still delivered above inflation returns to patient investors. All the more reason to stay with your investment and play the long game. Nurture this asset like it is a dear friend and you just might see a great payday. The next asset class is fixed income or debt. This is the most popular asset class in India. Fixed income is your steady friend, reliable, predictable, and one that will spring no nasty surprises on you. Fixed income refers to the class of financial products where your investment amount is more or less protected and the returns are either fixed or predictable. There is nearly no risk involved in these products. Investing in fixed income assets is akin to lending your money to someone with an assurance of return with predefined returns. When you open an FD or a fixed deposit in a bank, you're not so much investing as lending your money to that bank with an assurance that they will return the principal amount along with a predefined interest at the end of the agreed period. That said, as a class, fixed income assets do carry their own bit of risk, even if that risk is quite small. What if you don't get your money back at the end of the loan term? Depending on the institution or organization you're loaning money to, the risk can vary from negligible to substantial. However, public sector banks and other institutions backed by the government are generally considered a safe bet. Bear in mind that fixed deposits do not beat inflation. Even if you're receiving an 8 to 9% return on your FD, people sometimes fail to realize that this is the pre-tax return. Fixed deposits are taxable, like every other debt instrument. Once the requisite tax is paid on the returns usually only figure in the 6 to 7% range. And adjusting for an inflation of 8 to 10%, you sometimes may even receive a negative return on your fixed income investments. All things considered, those investors who want a fixed return without taking any risk with their money would be well advised to choose this asset class. There's a reason fixed income instruments are a huge favorite in our country. FDs are the first word in investment. They're simple, easy to understand financial products. The same goes for PPF or Public Provident Fund, NSC or National Savings Certificate, recurring deposits and various other government bonds or debt mutual funds. However, do note that this asset class does not beat inflation or only just keeps pace with it. Therefore, over a long term, while your investment will grow in amount, the purchasing power or value of the FD could well remain stagnant or maybe even drop. This asset class, hence, is a fine way to safeguard your money, not so much for growth. As we discussed earlier, this is the all-weather friend, one that will almost never let you down. It is dependable. There will be no exciting or sudden profits to cash in on, but we can rest easy knowing we're in safe company here.
Your assets are your friends.
An exclusive on Money Control.
Thank you, Sheetal. My name is Rakesh, and I bring you the third asset class, which is cash and cash equivalents. Cash doesn't mean just hard cash. It is also the money lying in your saving bank account or liquid mutual funds. Cash and cash equivalents. That includes the cash at bank, cash on hand in the form of notes or coins, traveler's checks, bank checks, post office and other stamps recognized by local authorities, and short-term deposits that mature in 3 months. All such instruments are considered cash equivalents, which can be converted to cash within 3 months or less. The best thing about cash is that it instantly gives you freedom to buy anything you desire. You can buy a car, a house, a phone, or invest your money in other asset classes. It is but natural that cash can be one of your best friends. Pliable, quick, and gets things done. Remember the time of demonetization? All those hordes of cash that were rounded up? There is a reason why so many people keep their black money in the form of cash. It is, metaphorically speaking, the most popular friend. When was the last time you looked at a pile of cash and thought, nah, I don't want it? Alright, I was a bit facetious, but you get my drift. More seriously, cash presents the lowest investment risk of all asset classes. Its inherent low risk provides good diversification to riskier assets. Also, cash in hand means you can try taking advantage of market dips, like investing at a low point. Easily accessible savings in the form of cash can help tide over exigencies without having to sell your other assets. As great as it is, cash does have one shortcoming. This dear friend of ours is susceptible to inflation. By its very nature, it does not fight inflation, or very little, if it does at all. The money lying in saving bank accounts earns just about 4% interest, and that does not really work for you as an investor. Essentially, your returns as an investor are pretty low with cash and cash equivalents. And then the fourth asset class is real estate and commodities. Acquiring real estate is akin to your longest, usually lifelong friendship. And after 15 or 20 years, you get to marry that best friend. Or something like that. Essentially, real estate is for keeps. The appeal of real estate lies in its social status. If you have your own house, you're considered settled. Then there is the obvious tangibility of landed property. You have arrived. A lot of our feelings related to money and relating to real estate is the fact that we can point at a piece of land or a building and say, that is mine. It is primal, but it is very real. Real estate markets experience the same boom and bust cycles that equities do. For example, in Hyderabad, the average returns from real estate have stayed put for 7 to 8 years. But real estate is a bit more tempered. The upside is more tempered and so is the downside. Look at it this way. Since there is no one announcing a price on TV for your home every day, one does not experience the anxiety or euphoria that accompanies investment in stocks. Property funds often invest in commercial property rather than the residential market, but an investor should probably consider his or her house and any buy-to-let properties they own as part of their investment portfolio. Fund managers can commit more capital to commercial properties and deal with fewer landlords than investing in residential schemes as a result. Property funds also allow investors to invest smaller amounts than would be necessary to buy a physical asset. Real estate investments are highly illiquid, meaning they require big-ticket investments and offer little diversification. Can you realistically think of spreading your real estate investments if you're not a billionaire? Real estate also requires maintenance. It is tax inefficient. And if you need some immediate money, you do not have the option of offloading, say, one room out of your 3BHK flat to make ends meet. With this asset class, a common investor can expect returns and volatility between that of debt and equity. Considering the illiquidity and the hassles that come with real estate, it does seem like this asset class gets more credit than it is due. Not that any of us are going to stop buying property, of course. At the end of the day, we all want to own property every bit as much as we desire to have friends we can depend on for a lifetime. That is the perfect analogy for property. You will grow old together. Though, fortunately, real estate usually becomes more attractive as it gets older. Coming to commodities, this term refers to various types of physical goods and products which we can buy and sell for various uses. Commodities are like your sundry friends you make along the way who add value to your life. Some of them will not be permanent, but will enrich your life when the going is good. Gold, silver, copper, rice, oil are all counted under this asset class. The prices of these products depend on market demand and supply. Some analysts are of the opinion that commodities are not ideal for long-term investment, but more for trading, where an investor can benefit from market cycles, predict demand and supply moves, and get a profit or loss. There are two types of traders who trade in commodity futures. The first are buyers and producers of commodities that use commodity futures contracts for the hedging purposes for which they were originally intended. These traders make or take delivery of said commodity when the contract expires. For example, a farmer who plants paddy can hedge against the risk of losing money if the price of rice falls before the crop is harvested. The farmer can sell rice futures contracts when the paddy is planted and guarantee a predetermined price for the rice at the time it is harvested. The second type of commodities trader is the speculator. These are traders that trade in the commodities markets for the sole purpose of profiting from the volatile price movements. Speculators never intend to make or take delivery of the actual commodity when the futures contract expires. Many of the futures markets are very liquid and have a high degree of daily range and volatility, making them very tempting markets for intraday traders. Many index futures are used by brokerages and portfolio managers to offset risk. Further, since commodities don't typically trade in tandem with equity and bond markets, some commodities can also be used effectively to diversify an investment portfolio. Returns from the commodities can be rather volatile because each commodity has its own market and dynamics. Just a handful of commodities like gold or silver are good for long-term investing. They can be stored without any diminishing value. But it is important to note that in general, more than a 10% permanent allocation to gold is not recommended by any investment advisor. The reason? Long-term returns are similar to inflation. We cannot realistically store any of the other commodities in a similar manner, so trading them in the short term is a more practical approach. And now that we've been talking about treating your investments like friends, I must talk about an adage that generally serves investors well. The trend is your friend. New York Times bestselling author Phil Town says, and I quote, "If a business's stock price is getting hammered for long periods of time, it is really important to either have total faith in your superior understanding of the business," and this is of course what Warren Buffett has, "or stand back, until the stock price finds a floor." Unquote. Phil Town also mentions a couple of signs to watch out for when this happens. First, observe if the volume starts to go up and the price goes up with it, or at least doesn't continue to go down. Why? Because if the price isn't going down despite investors or traders selling more stock, it is probably an indication that somebody big believes in that price. They believe enough in it to put their money where their faith is. So there you have it, fellow investors. Cultivate different asset classes, similar to making different types of friends. Treat them well and watch them repay you by adding immense value to your life. Thank you for joining us, and hopefully in the run-up to Friendship Day and beyond, because, well, friends are forever, we hope we've given you enough of an introduction to why money is a friend of yours.
This is an exclusive podcast on Money Control.